It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. For about 2 weeks, we've been experiencing a surge in COVID-19 cases in Allegheny County, including days that topped 200 new cases. The health department on Wednesday issued new directives to try to slow down that pandemic. Joining us now is Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. When we spoke just as the county was getting ready to enter the green phase, you said green isn't the go-ahead to go back to life as normal. It seems like a lot of people maybe didn't take that advice.
I think you are exactly right, Kevin. Maybe the word green was a bad signal. At that time, we did see a lot of young people that went into bars, didn't socially distance, didn't wear masks, didn't do all the things that, you know, Dr. Bogan and our medical experts have been advising, and we saw a spike in cases. You're absolutely right. We went from one of the lowest in the state in the number of cases to one of the highest in a very short period of time.
Under the new two-week-long directive, outdoor dining at county restaurants and bars is allowed, as well as alcohol consumption. Indoor dining is prohibited. That order came from Health Department Director Dr. Deborah Bogan. But what are you hearing as county executive from residents and business owners as different measures are tried to reduce this spike?
Well, it almost comes down to how people individually are affected. When we were in the red and the yellow phase, a lot of businesses were affected. You know, we had manufacturing, we had construction, you had hair salons and retail establishments that were shut down. So in opening the various phases, it allowed more and more people to go back to work, businesses to open up to make a living. Obviously, the strategic decision that the health department made based on their testing and based on their contact tracing and all those things, they pinpointed it to the biggest problem was in the bars and restaurants. So that's where they decided to focus the mitigating strategies. They opened it up, as you indicated, to outdoor dining, because what they're saying is when you're outdoors and you're socially distanced, you're much, much less likely to contract or pass on the virus as you are when you're indoors without a mask on. I think as time goes on, we're going to always see certain things open up, certain things close down, certain things be changed. And I think that's really going to come into effect when we start school back in the fall.
Will the county work with the health department to enforce this order and even penalize specific bars and restaurants that violate it?
That is the plan. The plan is to make sure that the folks who are doing all the right things, and there are many of them out there doing that, they shouldn't be lumped in with the bad actors, if you will. So I think that's the plan that they're trying to put together now, is how to enforce that. They're stretched so thin on so many different levels, trying to regulate, you know, all the different activities that we have and do the contact tracing and the investigations. So, yes, the plan is to do that, and they're putting that together as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Can you use county police to do this, or is it strictly an internal health department enforcement procedure?
It's one of those things they're evaluating, and we may be using, you know, some county police, local police, you know, building inspector. I mean, who knows? And some things, the industries themselves are going to have to be part of that as well. And I know that's not easy to turn in your own folks if they're doing bad things, but you know, we don't want, you know, everybody to be shut down for a very long period of time if we don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Kennywood and Sandcastle reopening for the season. They reopened Friday. How will the county monitor compliance at amusement parks, so where big crowds tend to gather?
Well, again, those decisions were actually made by the state to allow those venues to open. I think that'll be the same when it comes to major league sports, because I think they'll try to treat all activities like that in a similar vein. So if the Phillies in Philadelphia are treated like the Pirates in Pittsburgh, et cetera, so those type of things. And I'm sure the amusement parks across the Commonwealth are probably being treated that they have to do certain things, the individual things, because there's a commonality there that's no more specific to Allegheny County than it is to any other county in the Commonwealth.
Right. But don't they rely on you and others, local officials, to sort of keep an eye on things?
In certain things, they do, and I'm gonna have to check with the health department to see who's doing what when it comes to those two activities that you mentioned.
All right, Carnegie Mellon has canceled sports programs for the fall, as did all Ivy League schools. What do you think? Should other colleges and universities in Allegheny County do the same? And even what about high school sports? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I think you almost have to do it on a case-by-case basis. Certain sports in which people are in close contact with each other probably are going to be challenging. When you think about things like basketball, football, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, things like that. But then you have other sports in which people aren't close to each other, like golf, cross country, tennis, where you can be a little bit separated. So I think, again, you have to look at not just sports, but all activities on a case-by-case basis. You think about bands. I mean, the high school bands are such a big part of our, you know, Western Pennsylvania culture. And some of them have, you know, hundreds of kids who are close together. Well, you still might be able to have a music program of some sort if you spread things out. So I think a lot of these activities that we talk about, I don't know if you could always say it's a yes or no. It might be a yes with some modifications.
Again, when we spoke about 5 weeks or so ago about to enter green, you were speaking about concern, maybe a little trepidation about a second wave. Is it fair to say that second wave has hit? And are you confident we can reduce that wave?
I don't know if we define it as a second wave or an elevation of the first wave or however it comes about. The numbers over the last couple of weeks have been much, much higher than any of us feel comfortable with. Now the question becomes, can we get it to where we start to go back the other way? So we start to maybe open certain things up that haven't been opened up before. These are challenges. We don't want to turn into Texas, Arizona, Florida, California, where they're seeing huge spikes go on. We're not there yet, and we don't want to be there.
Finally, what has Governor Wolf or State Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine told you about state actions, maybe even moving back to the yellow phase?
I don't think we're going to move back to the yellow phase the way we had it before. I think what you'll see is almost like what Dr. Bogan has done here, a more targeted enforcement of where the hot spots and where the spread is occurring. And my sense is that Secretary Levine at the state level is probably going to do it the same way. Whether it's, you know, in Allegheny, we have our own health department, but most of these counties in southwestern Pennsylvania do not. So they do rely on the State Department of Health to set the regulations, do the enforcement, do all those kind of things. So I think there's a lot of commonality, certainly, between what we do. But I would be very surprised if we go back into the yellow phase with all those other things being shut down because, you know, the hair salons, the nail salons, the gyms, and retail hasn't had the level of spread that we've seen in the bars and restaurants.
Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, thanks so much.
Good to be with you, Kevin. Take care.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The U.S. Supreme Court has concluded its session with mixed results for President Trump. We're going to take a look at the impact of these decisions and preview a big case coming up in the fall with University of Pittsburgh law professor and WESA legal analyst David Harris. Welcome, David.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
So, David, let's start with two Pennsylvania cases, Little Sisters of the Poor versus Pennsylvania and Trump versus Pennsylvania. The Commonwealth fought in lower courts against the president's exceptions to allow employers with religious or moral objections to deny workers' contraception insurance benefits. That was at the heart of these cases.
That's right. You know, the Affordable Care Act made contraception universally free to anybody getting insurance under its mandate. And it also created an exemption for religious organizations. But that wasn't enough for some of these organizations. They didn't want to have anything to do with the federal government supplying any of the services through funding. And so they objected and sued. And that's the case that the court decided on its last day of the term.
Any surprise about this?
No, not really, because thematically, the court has been moving in this direction over a whole host of different kinds of issues. We talked in the last time we were together about this, the case from Montana and religious school funding. What you see overall is the court using the religion clauses in the First Amendment to justify a greater exercise of religious rights over rights of other people, say, in the Affordable Care Act to get free contraception. And the court is simply saying that those free exercise of religion rights, the right to not have to do something or to get government funding and not be excluded, those things triumph over lots of other societal interests. And the court's been doing this now for at least 10 to 15 years.
Let's talk about the president's tax records. The justices ruled against his efforts to block turning over those records to a New York grand jury, but the court rejected the House's attempt to see them. Is this a mixed message? What is it?
Well, it is an interesting mix of cases, but the same thing was going on in both New York State and the House of Representatives of the United States. Different bodies were going for President Trump's tax and other financial records. They had different motivations, but the same argument was being made by the president. The president was saying the president is absolutely immune from any investigation while he holds the office of president. The court looked at the cases differently only because of the purpose of the investigation. In New York State, a state district attorney, the district attorney for Manhattan Borough in New York, same kind of position as our district attorney here in Allegheny County, the state level district attorney is investigating actions by President Trump from before he was president. And they have subpoenaed for the grand jury years of his tax and financial records. Right. In this case, the Supreme Court came out and said it couldn't be clearer, just like in the old Nixon tapes case, just like in the case against President Bill Clinton, the grand jury has a right to every person's evidence, and it doesn't matter that he's president. He gets no special exemption for being president. Those documents will come to the grand jury. There'll be some skirmishing about just how many and so forth, but really that battle is over.
Right, and very briefly, what does this mean in terms of information to the public? Nothing will be coming out before the election, correct?
No, absolutely not. Nothing is going to come out. There's going to be skirmishing in that grand jury case in New York, and nothing is going to come out of the House for a while.
And briefly, David, we mentioned the cases earlier about contraception insurance. That sort of carved out part of the Affordable Care Act. There's a big case coming up that could challenge the entire Affordable Care Act?
Yes, that's right. This is the biggest case on the court's docket for next year. It's called California versus Texas, and it is a challenge to the very existence of the Affordable Care Act. You remember that the Congress, in its last act on the Affordable Care Act, struck down the mandate that people belong and pay in, and without that, the people challenging the act are saying the whole structure has to come down. So the Trump administration is in the Supreme Court saying, get rid of Obamacare, root and branch. And they look at this as their chance to do that.
Pitt Law Professor David Harris is WESA's legal analyst and the host of the Criminal Injustice Podcast. Thanks, David.
My pleasure, Kevin.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. DUI convictions can carry serious penalties in Pennsylvania. Loss of license, insurance hikes or cancellations, plus fines and even jail time for some offenders. The state's DUI laws are intended to punish people who drive while under the influence. But patients who use medical cannabis, a legal drug that does not impair driving ability, when used in prescription dosages, are facing the same penalties as people who drive drunk. State Senator Camara Bartolotta has introduced a bill that would amend the state's DUI laws to require proof of impairment. She's on the line now. Senator, why do you think this bill is needed now?
Well, because in 2018, when we passed medicinal cannabis use as being legal, we didn't address this catch that is in the legislation, and we need to correct that. Someone who is under a recommendation from a medical professional for using medicinal cannabis, because of our zero tolerance law that is in effect right now, they could be convicted of a DUI, even though there is no impairment whatsoever.
So, Senator, has this been on your radar since the original passage of the law legalizing medical marijuana, or have constituents come to you complaining? What?
I have seen and met and talked to multiple individuals who are benefiting greatly from the use of CBD oils and certain other strains of this medication. And when it's used as medication, it does a phenomenal job on so many different issues. I want to be really clear. There are so many people who are confusing this legislation. This in no way, shape, or form allows people to drive impaired. That is not what this does. All right. So if you're under a pain medication, it says don't use this medication and drive, you know, get used to it. Make sure that you're not impaired. Same thing with medicinal cannabis. If it impairs a driver, by all means, they should not be driving. And if they are impaired, they should suffer the consequences. But if someone has a medical marijuana card, or for example, if they're pulled over and for some reason their vehicle needs to be searched, just because they have medicinal cannabis, this should not lead to a DUI charge. Obviously, if they're impaired, they should be punished and suffer the consequences. But if you have a DUI charge and you were not impaired in any way, you could be fired from your job. You could have all sorts of issues. You could lose your license. So this is something we really need to take into consideration and not accuse someone of a criminal behavior that they have not committed merely because they're under a recommendation for a medicine.
And so the officer who pulled over the individual for some reason would have to demonstrate proof of impairment?
Yes.
So what do you think? Are you expecting passage? How have your colleagues responded to your proposal?
It's gotten a lot of support, especially with the support of the District Attorneys Association and many others and patients and attorneys and lots of support, lots of stakeholder support, because they realize, look, this is an unintended consequence and it should be corrected. There are lots and lots of laws on the books in Pennsylvania. And when you pass a new law, oftentimes you don't realize how many other laws are out there that might pose a stumbling block. And when you come across one, you need to do your best to correct that mistake. And that's what this does. It just corrects a mistake that is in the law right now. Because the law right now says and considers medicinal cannabis the same as recreational marijuana. I am not in favor of legalizing recreational marijuana. I'll get that out there right now. But I have met many, many, many parents of children with Dravet syndrome and people who have Parkinson's disease and all sorts of other ailments and conditions that have just had massive benefits from medicinal cannabis that is well regulated and through the care and guidance of medical professionals. So that's what we're differentiating here.
State Senator Camara Bartolotta represents Pennsylvania's 46th district, which includes Greene County and parts of Beaver and Washington counties. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Helen Wigger, Tom Hurley, Joey Zenkovich, and Doug Shugerts. Until next time, I'm Kevin Gavin. Hope you have a good day of good news.